Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the healthcare.gov issuer discussion conference call. My name is Jennifer, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please press star followed by zero, and we will be happy to assist you. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host for today, Mr. Brian James. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you all for joining us on the second training for the CMP data entry tool for your plan level information. I think most of what we're going to cover again today will have been content that you heard last week if you were with us. But we will again have a question and answer period at the end, so we should be able to address any new concerns that may have come up in the meantime. I do want to remind everyone that the HIOS window closes this evening at 11:59 Eastern Standard Time. So this is your opportunity to go ahead and get all your product level data updated and into the tool. That of course means you are going to need to get the application and update data in there. Remember to go in, and for those products which are approved, you want to indicate that you are not going to be opting out. So you would select no in that field. That way we know that yes, this is an approved product and the plans associated with it should be displayed on the website. I do want to ask as well that you check your issuer IDs and product IDs. One of the difficulties we had last month was that people, quite frankly, just aren't familiar enough with those identifiers yet. And so we had a couple of typos. There were other things that meant that we weren't able to get certain information to display. So we want to make sure that if you've gone through all this effort to get your information into us, that we're actually able to get it displayed for you. The last thing that I'll mention is that in HIOS, we are asking for those URLs. The URLs that you enter in the CMP are not actually going to be utilized for this version of the website. And so you want to pay particular attention to the URLs that you're entering into HIOS. Those are going to be displayed, and we do have a validation process that we apply to that information. Please remember that we don't accept URLs that have spaces in them. There is a list of special characters that are actually invalid characters for our purposes. Those include things like exclamation marks. I believe if you submit things with the actual HTML encoding, it should be fine, but special characters are not going to work for us. Additionally, you should check to make sure that there are valid domain names. It should be a .com, .org, .net. And if there's any ambiguity or confusion, or if you need additional guidance, please refer back to the memo that we sent out on September 2nd. That takes you through the list of things that we're checking on URLs that come into us. Additionally, though, and since this is training for the CMP tool, I do want to just quickly remind everyone that the final deadline for submission of your initial information is Friday. Please make sure that you are getting as a valid submission by that time. And I say this because, we're just under a time crunch still. We really want to be able to get ahead of the curve. We do anticipate that we'll be doing, the collection in December for January, that we will, have a little bit better process in place for timing and taking care of issues in a timely manner. But for right now, we really need you to work with us to get the best submission, the cleanest submission possible early on. If there is a problem, we will notify you, and you will have 48 hours to get back to us in terms of correcting that. Those 48 hours, really what we mean by this is 2 business days. So if we don't communicate with you until Friday, you know, then you know, you would have until Tuesday of the next week. The main thing, though, is that you don't want to wait on this. You want to get those submissions in so that we can go ahead and get them processed in time to get everything up for the November refresh. Finally, just because there's been a lot of discussion and confusion on the issue, I do want to mention the attestation and review. You all received the memo by email that mentioned how we're doing attestation up front. We are actually asking that when you submit the data, the data be in a form that your CEO, CFOs can test to. And when you submit the data, you can then go in immediately and generate an attestation email for that data. The whole intent here is really to kind of separate the process of attesting to the accuracy and completeness of information versus, you know, did the information actually display in the way that you want it to. Clearly, that's an important issue, and you will have an opportunity to indicate after a review whether or not you approve of the display of the data. We do reserve the right to put information up on the portal that you are uncomfortable with. However, for all intents and purposes, that really is not going to be an issue at this point. You know, we need to reserve the right because we are committed by the legislation to displaying this information. But we do want to separate that out and make it clear that the legal responsibilities associated with the attestation are to the data as it's being submitted. You know, that actually is a piece of the process that David will be going over in his training today. I'm going to turn things over here in just a moment to David Figuero, who will take you through getting all of your information listed in the CMP. When David is complete, we'll go ahead to a question and answer period. David is here for eHealth, who's the contractor on the CMP. We have a couple of individuals, Sharon Plackett, who is with CGI, who are the contractor handling the HIOS web portal for us. So they'll be able to answer any specific questions you have regarding these. For policy questions, I will ask that you hold off on those until the discussion call tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. We will be taking you through things. We'll hopefully have some additional information for you then as well. Okay, and I guess at this point, if it's all right, I'll turn things over to David Cadero, who will take you through the training on the tool. David?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. As Brian said, the slides that we're going to go through are the same slides that we went through last week, so I'm going to present how an issuer going to the CMP for the first time would submit their content and pricing, and then also go through some common issues that we experienced during the first round of submissions. And then that'll take about 20 minutes, and then we'll open it up to questions and answers. So if you're looking at your screen, the first slide is a picture of where you would go to sign into the content management portal. If you have not signed in previously, this is your first time, you would click on that register link and you would register and create a username and password, and then you would be able to enter the CMP using that username and password. There's basically 7 sections that need to be completed. So you would click on the initial submission tab. You would create your request by entering your carrier name, your state. Click on the individual and family product radio button, and then click submit. The first screen you have to complete is enter the portal plans, basically identifying from a plan unit perspective which plans you're going to want to load onto the healthcare.gov site. We'll ask for your benefit information. So there'll be a page where you can download a benefit template, which is in a common format, so that consumers can compare plans side by side across carriers. We'll ask, the next page will ask you to provide your rates in one of several standard formats. We'll ask you questions to help guide you to the proper format to use. We'll also ask for the service area that we should be quoting for your products. The next page will be some questions that we've answered. Many of them are eligibility type questions on the family members and how we should be quoting those family members. So that template needs to be completed. We would also like to collect test cases so that we can verify that the rate results that we're generating are correct. We still also ask for a company logo and profile. Currently, this information is not published on the healthcare.gov site, but at this time, we're still collecting it through the CMP. And then we'll ask for some contact information. Going through each of these pages, your screen now shows a screenshot of the Enter Portals plan page. When you enter your plan information, you'll have to enter your issuer ID and product ID. We're also going to ask for the plan name, the type of plan, the effective and end date, deductible coinsurance, office visit, member enrollment, and CERF number if available. As it relates to these fields, here's some definition. Issuer number is a five-digit numeric. The product ID is actually the two-digit state code and then the three-digit number. Plan name, plan type is PPO, HMO, point of service, EPO, or indemnity. Effective date, the date we should make this update effective, so please enter a current or future date. Do not provide the date the plans were first made available. On the end date, when do the plan rates expire is really what we're looking for on the end date. The deductible, enter the single deductible amount. Member coinsurance, enter the coinsurance amount. It's a numeric or NA if there's no coinsurance. And remember, on the site, we display the member liability. So, for example, if it's an 80-20 plan, you would enter 20%. The primary care office visit, we provide some, on the drop-down, we provide these various options in an effort to try to standardize the description across carriers. However, you can enter text into the field, but there is a limitation of up to 75 characters. Member enrollment, a six-digit numeric, and the CERF number, which is a 13-digit alphanumeric. On the medical benefit template, you'll click on the medical benefit template link, which will download the standardized template that we use. And again, this is an effort to try to standardize the benefits across carrier plans to the extent possible. We are still collecting the PDF of the benefits. In other words, the benefit plan brochure in a PDF file. It is not currently published on the healthcare.gov site, but it is still something that we want to collect through CMP, and that also includes exclusions and limitations PDF. As I mentioned earlier, for the rates, we will ask a series of questions to direct you to the appropriate standardized rate template. And we also need you to complete the template to define the service area and where we should be quoting it. Your plans. The service area template allows you to enter zip code, county, and also if you rate by regions, it allows you to define what those regions are. The next screen is the rating eligibility questions template, download and complete the ratings Excel template. The information is used in the coding process. We'll also have a template whereby you can provide us with some test cases and provide us with the correct rate result. We could use these test cases to, in our quality assurance process, to make sure that we're coding correctly. And we are still collecting the company logos and company profiles, although, again, they are not currently being published on the healthcare.gov site. And the last page is your company contract information. So that is kind of a quick review of what an issuer would need to do entering into the CMP for the first time to submit their content and pricing. Now I'd like to go through a little bit more detail on for those issuers that are returning to CMP and they have updates or new plans that they'd like to add, what would be the process to do that? Well, for adding new states or new plans, what we would recommend is that you create a new request for the new states. For the new plans, you can create a new request, or I know there are some issuers that went into their existing request and added the plans that way, and that is also fine. No problem there. Just make sure that you, and I'll show this in an upcoming slide, but make sure you describe when you submit exactly which plans are the new plans. If you need to update rates or service area, just need to go back to the original initial submission request and upload a new rate and or service area template and resubmit. If the rate update does not apply to all plans, then highlight the new rates and resubmit. Please submit an updated rate test cases template so that we can verify the rate results. If you're just updating benefits, go back to the original initial submission request and update the benefits and highlight the changes and resubmit. If you are making an update whereby for all of your plans or a subset of your plans need to be updated with a new rating or eligibility rule. So, for example, if you have a subset of plans that you should not be quoting for child-only applications, you would need to go back to that template, the requests template, and highlight the changes that you're requesting. If you're removing plans, simply send the CMP help desk, or by now you should know who your account specialist is. And by the way, if you do not, please send an email to the CMP help desk and we'll make sure that an account specialist reaches out to you. But if you're removing plans, simply send an email to that account specialist with the issuer name, issuer number, state, plan name, product ID, and the cancellation date. And we will handle it through the email. If you're extending rates, so if you, let's say your rates are expiring on November 30th and you're extending those rates through December 31st, all you need to do is send an email again to the account specialist with the issuer name, issuer number, state, plan name, product ID, and what the new rate end dates are. As I mentioned in the previous slide, when you do make any of these updates, it's always a great idea to just enter in some comments and just, you know, generally describe what it is that you're updating. It will ensure clear and concise communication for the team that's going to be processing the content. So when you do submit, you do have an opportunity to add this comment, as you can see from the screenshot. I'm going to go through a few common errors that we did see during the last submission period. On the benefit pad, there are some issuers that do have benefit prescription, drug benefit descriptions that don't quite fit into our standard way of describing the benefit. For example, some issuers might have tiers, tier 1, 2, 3, and 4, or level 1, 2, 3, and 4. So what we've done to try to accommodate that is we've created another field called prescription drug other coverage. If you're going to utilize that field, you must enter NA in the under the standard generic brand and non-formulary field. In fact, in the new templates that were rolled out, you cannot access the prescription drug other coverage field unless you enter NA into generic brand and non-formulary. If you try entering, for example, let's say the non-formulary does meet with part of your prescription drug prescription. We've seen some carriers try to enter a value just in that field and then try to describe the remaining benefits through the other coverage field. That is no good. What will happen is the prescription drug other coverage field will be suppressed. And all you'll see is what was entered for the non-formulary. So it's one way or the other. There's nothing in between. Other common errors in the rate template, or really some rules of the road, don't change the format of the template. Currently, we only support XL 97-2003. Under user type in the screenshot, you know, each template has different user types. Don't try to create brand new user types that are contrary to what is shown in the drop-down box. Do not try to create your own customized template. It will not process. Only use what's in the drop-down box. Do not input NA in the cells. Leave them blank if there are no values. Don't change the plan names. They are auto-populated for the Enter Portals plan page. So for some of you that have been on CMP, you're probably noticing the pattern that it's the Enter Portal Plans page that then triggers the plan names to all the templates. And if you were to try to change the order of those plan names and enter the templates, that will cause a problem in processing. And again, this was another update we made to the template so that the plan names cannot be changed, they're only read-only. Under the rating questions, the answer column should only have one answer. If some plans have different rules and indicate this in the additional notes, so some issuers may have a subset of plans that have slightly different rules than the remainder of the plans. What you need to do, the requirement on this template is you need to create or answer all the questions in the answer column. And if you have plans that have a different response for a particular question, note that in the additional notes section so that we know to program appropriately for the plans that are handled differently. On the rate test cases, we actually had quite a few issues trying to process rate test case templates. Here are some more rules for the road. In this screenshot, we show 23 test cases, but we recommend that issuers provide more than that, perhaps up to 100, so that we can cover all different types of family types and eligibility boundaries. Complete all the appropriate columns based on the family member in that row. So, for example, you see single male is the first row. Input each column related to the primary and leave all the spouse, child fields blank. The service area should cover as many different counties as possible, provide different test cases based on the different boundary eligibility conditions. Important to note, if you provide a test case to ensure we're not quoting that census, enter zeros in the data field. So, for example, if you want to make sure that we're not quoting child only, you would provide census with just children, and then under the rates just enter zeros, and that'll let us know that what you're testing is to make sure that we're not quoting. And again, the effective start date should be current or future date. On the rate test cases, if you were within the rate test case template Excel file, if you were to scroll all the way to the right, that is the area where you would enter the correct rate results for each of your plans. And it's important that the plan order not change from those, from the way they are entered on the rate template. So the plan order on the rate template needs to be the same as the rate test cases. So those were some of the common issues that we came across, and we thought we would just show them to you. But at this point, we can open it up to any questions that you might have.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star one to begin. And our first question comes from the line of Sherry Woodhall with Regents. Please proceed.
Hi. We have, we do not have approval on some of our most recently filed rates, so we're wondering if we need to mark them as open or closed on HIOS. And I know this is a CMT turning, but since we have to know the answer to this, by the end of the day, I thought I'd fit this question in.
No, we won't allow it. Of course, no. And it's a fantastic question. I'm glad to hear it. And the issue is, if we do not have approval for the rates of a product, so there is nothing under that product that is approved, then you should go ahead and mark it as opt-out in the current HIOS structure. And then we will not be displaying that until you go in and correct it. So it would not display for the November refresh if we do not have that indication that it is open.
Okay, so that, this is actually it. I mean, a follow-up on that is that, we have approval on the rates, just not the most recently filed ones, so it's still no. I mean, if eHealth had the older rates and we transferred those, would that still a no, that because we don't have the most recently filed rates approved, that we should still mark it closed?
Okay, so the question, let's take that as a two-part question.
Okay.
So if we have entered the most recent rates in the CMT, but we have not gotten them approved from the state, then we would want in HIOS to indicate that they are not approved. Okay? And again, this is one of those things where we're going to need to make some changes moving forward so we can better reflect this. But the other question, if there are rates that you can be selling this product and plans at, so there are rates that you can sell it at now, and you intend to sell it at those rates for November until approval occurs, then you could, in fact, mark it as open and enter those rates into the CMP. However, if those rates are now expired and the new rates have not been approved, or you've got rates that you do not intend to sell the product at, then you should mark them as opt-out.
Okay. And so my second question is has to do with the attestation. Some of our eHealth transferred the data for us, and some of our states don't have we don't have product approval. So are we, should we attest to all of our states to know we don't have product approval on some of them, or should we just attest to the ones that have approved products?
Yeah. And again, everything within the, and part of this, unfortunately, depends on how you enter the data. So I need to be a little bit careful here, and I may ask for backup from Dave. The issue is that the attestation right now is on the accuracy and completeness of the information. So, you know, you could actually attest for the information since the attestation is not extending backward. The question would be, though, whether you should attest. I think there the answer is... I'm sorry, I think we're on headlines. Dave, do you want to type in here? Because I think the issue really is more management of the data. And if we can have attestation but otherwise indicate that you don't want this information displayed, I think that would be the preferred way of dealing with it.
So ultimately we don't want to go live on the healthcare.gov site with either plans or rates that are not approved. And if you were to enter them into the CMP, and we did process them, as long as the HIOS is updated correctly, then those plans would be suppressed and would not move forward. So in that instance, you could attest. I think the only downside is that we would spend time processing that information that is not approved, but more than likely it will get approved and would then be available for you for the December submission. Not sure if I'm answering the question, but...
I think it does answer my question.
Right.
Our next question comes from the line of Jim Ford with U.S. Health and Life. Please proceed.
I may have missed a couple of the sessions, but I just want to confirm the product IDs come from HIOS, is that correct?
That is correct.
And then they're used in the CMT.
Correct. What happens is HIOS is our system to indicate whether a product is approved or not, and to just collect the high-level information. So then what we're doing in the CMT is collecting the plans that link back to those products. So if we have a plan that does not have a link back to the HIOS database, it actually will not be displayed. So we need to pay particular attention to that product level information that we've entered in HIOS and make sure that our plans are being linked back to it appropriately.
Okay. One more follow-up question, and maybe this is a policy question for tomorrow, but
I understand the question. The simple truth of the matter is that historically there are two different systems because we were required to proceed in a particular way that meant we had to get up product level information as early as possible before we had plan-level data collection tools available to us. The truth is that they will probably, on our end, continue to be separate systems because it's simply a matter of our ability to kind of manage the information. However, we are making efforts to make it more seamless. We hope to have some of those in place for the December data collection, and this will get easier, but for now, it's kind of where we're at, and it's the best system we've got.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I just jump in for a second? I'm getting some questions through chat or Q&A on my screen. Should I just read the question out loud, and we can... So I can slip these in.
Go ahead.
Okay. So one person wants to know, can you please provide more details about the data reporting that will be expected in December? And Brian, I don't know if you have any more guidance on the next.
Yeah, I'd honestly prefer to focus on the data collection for right now and make sure we get those answers, those questions answered. In terms of December, we don't have particularly, quite frankly, there are a number of development efforts that we are undertaking to improve the process. There will not be any significant changes in the data that is being required, but we are hoping to do some of the things like eliminate the duplicative fields in the two systems, improve our ability to kind of control the data inputs so that there are less complications moving forward, and a variety of sort of technical fixes on that. In terms of any actual data element changes, currently we don't anticipate any of that until early next year. Theoretically, I can't rule that out, but currently that's kind of the focus of what we're looking at. Okay? But, I'd rather focus right now on making sure that people can get their data into the current tool.
Okay, and there's one comment I wanted to make during my presentation that I'll take the opportunity now to make, and that is, if any issuers have gone into Hyose and updated or changed their product ID, we need to make sure that that updated product ID gets entered into the CMT. And if you happen to be an issuer that was transferred, please send me the updated product IDs, so that we can ensure that those new product IDs are loaded, and when we reconcile with Hyose, that the reconciliation goes cleanly.
Right. That's a good point, David. And while there shouldn't be any product IDs that change, the addition of new product IDs is one that you do want to take into account as you're entering into those systems. And I know there have been particular cases where people were linking to product IDs that might not have been, they realized later that they were not necessarily the product IDs that they should have been linking to. So if you make those corrections, you do want to make those corrections in the CMT tool to point to the appropriate place in the IDs.
Okay, we can take the next question.
Okay, thank you so much. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Clifford of the Altius Health Plan. Please proceed.
Thank you. We had an issue with the display of our benefits, which has prevented us from attesting. And we have relentlessly emailed the help desk over this question. We received one reply since September, which reiterated our question back to us. Other than that, we've heard nothing from anyone. I was wondering what else we can do, first of all, to get a CMT specialist assigned to us. But secondly, according to the memo that you sent, with regard to the issue that we're having on the benefit display, it is causing the benefit to look hugely in error. And we fear attesting to that it might be displayed anyway. And so I'm wondering if a solution can be offered there.
I think to answer the last part of your question, although, and Brian, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but HHS does reserve the right to utilize anything that was submitted if you attest. However, that's not a concern with this next resubmission. We're going to be looking for your approval on what is displayed on that Find or Verify site before we move it forward, at least this submission coming up. But as far as we need to get your benefits fixed, I apologize that no one has gotten back to you. If you could send an email to the CMT help desk and also ask that it gets forwarded to me, and we'll make sure that you get assigned an account specialist and that we start communicating with you on what you need to do.
that would be helpful. I appreciate it. We just sort of to clarify, the issue that we're having is with high deductible health plans versus that have family-only deductibles versus those with family and individual. And the family-only deductibles continue to display as zero. They're just not displaying, and the site doesn't seem to make a distinguishing point of showing the difference between those plans. And so we're concerned that you'll pull up a family-only plan and see a zero-deductible plan with zero copay at a rate.
Right, and that's an issue that we will be working on moving forward. It's frankly a limitation in the system to some degree in terms of our ability to show some of the different types of penetrations of individual and family rating structures. In particular cases where we have not been able to resolve it, what we have done is simply for those that we cannot get to display correctly, we suppress those particular plans so that we can at least show the plans that do display correctly. This is something we're going to be paying a lot of attention to moving forward. It is something that we want to get corrected. And I'd just like to ask, can I get your name and who you represent before we let you off the call?
Certainly. I'm Jeff. It's J-E-S-S like San Francisco.
Okay.
Clickers like the Big Red Dog with ahplans.com. The name is Altius Health Plans. A-L-T-I-U-S.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Your next question comes from the line of Rick Murphy with Dean Health Plans. Please proceed.
Yeah, we advertise with eHealth, and so for October 1st, our rates transfer automatically. What exactly do we have to do to get new rates for effective dates of 12-1, 1-1, and 2-1?
So you need to register and get into CMT, click on the initial submission tab, and you need to enter all of your plans into the portal plans page, where you just look for a high-level summary of the plans along with the issue number and product ID. And then you just need to create a or complete one of the rate templates.
So we have to do a new issuer request, a new initial submission.
Right. But you don't need to. You don't. If you're just updating rates, you don't need to enter any of the benefit information. You just need to complete the rate template.
So when I'm in CMP, I see the status for the issuer. Its status is issuer approved, and that was the one for the 10-1 update.
Yeah, so there's probably there's a request out there that was used to attest to the plans that we transferred, but there's probably no content in that request.
Yeah, so when I hit view and edit online content, and then I go through the different things like enter portal plans, provide benefit information, I can't. There's nothing there.
Right. So what you can do is, do you have an account specialist that was assigned to you?
No, I'm not sure. I don't know who it is.
Okay. What issuer are you? What company are you?
Dean Health Plan.
Okay. Is this Rick?
Yeah.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll have somebody get in touch with you, but basically what you need to do is you need to create a request and you need to just enter your plans and then populate the rate template and provide us with some test cases.
Okay.
Now, the issue here is it looks like you have monthly rate updates, so you're going to have to create a request for 12-1 and then create another rate template and another request for 1-1 and then another one for 2-1.
Okay.
So, again, the account specialist will help you with that.
So the account specialist will give me a call or?
Yes.
Okay.
I have your information.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Elaine Langle with Blue Cross Blue Shield Nebraska. Please proceed.
Hi, I think that maybe my question was answered because I'm getting the same issue as the earlier fellow with HSS accounts not showing correctly. My rating's not showing correctly.
In terms of some are family individual.
Right. I mean, basically, when I run the list, I'm with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, by the way. When I run the listing of all of our plans, the summary comparisons for all the family HSA plans are showing that the deductible is zero instead of the actual deductible level associated with that plan. But when I go in on the single HSA plan, the deductible appears to show correctly. Just the family plans seem to have a problem.
Can I ask you a question? When did you observe this?
We're just going through our check now. We started
yesterday.
We started verifying yesterday, and we're looking at it today. Found it this morning.
Okay.
And we sent in a note to our account specialist.
So just, did you go live on the healthcare.gov site, or you're not yet live?
Not yet live.
Okay, so during the first submission period, you went in and entered information, and it was pushed out to the Finder Verify site, and you're now going out there looking at it and seeing these problems. Is that the scenario?
Yeah, when we tried to enter it for the October deadline, we hit the 75-character issue.
Oh, and I now, see. Okay.
Right, and now we corrected the 75-character issue, and as we go in and look at the Finder Verify site now, I run into the problem I just described.
Okay. Do you know who your account specialist is?
Yeah, Liz McNair.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. I guess I'm not quite understanding why this can't be resolved, but
right.
Let me talk to Luke and see and discuss your situation. We'll get back to you.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Colleen McCaud with Sun Life Assurance of Canada. Please proceed.
Hi. We only have a closed block of conversion business. We're not offering new business. How much information do you need from us in this?
Yeah, for conversion plans and for closed blocks, you do not need to report to the CMB. Okay, so we don't need the plan level information on those. You do still need to go into HIAS and continue to keep that information up to date. Again, HIAS is sort of what we're using to keep an overall view of what's going on in the insurance market and to make sure we're understanding and creating the correct information at plan level. But you do not need, you are not required to enter any information through the CMP on the particular health plans. Does that answer the question?
I'm really kind of confused with the two systems because I submitted the information to HIOS for two companies, Sun Life Assurance Company and also Sun Life and Health Insurance Company, and the information for Sun Life Assurance Company, I think it got put onto this content management portal, but the other information did not.
I'm not really sure what to say about that because, I mean, the information, plan level information in the CMP only occurs if you enter it, okay? If you enter information into the CMP and it links back to an open product in HIOS, then it will display, the requisite provisos. So if you had an open product for one of those companies, and you have entered information into the CMP associated with that product, then it would display. However, if that's not the case, then I'd really have to dig around because, that's literally how the system works.
Okay. both companies, it's closed block of business, so maybe the information is only in Hiles. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, and I apologize to some degree because I know there can be confusion between these two.
Okay.
Again, the real issue is that for product level information, we want to collect that even if the product is closed. And you would go in to Hiles and you're simply indicating to us, here's how many people are enrolled, here's the applications that we received, is it open or closed? And that's essentially it. We distinguish between these products, which are, the entities approved for sale at the state level, and then the actual plans, where you go through and you define, here's the cost sharing, here's the rating structure, that you would need if you were actually enrolling people into it. And obviously, for closed products, that really is not an issue. So we still need to collect the basic information in the Hiles, but you do not need to go into the more specific information on plan level benefits and pricing that's required in CMP.
Okay, so the information that was collected by Hiles, which is the information that I saw, now it's there for one company, but it's not there for the other company. Do I need to check into that with Hiles?
Yes, you should. One possibility, and bear in mind that if there are two different companies, you will get two different Hiles ID numbers.
Okay.
So depending on how you're going into the system and how you're looking at it, it may be there and you simply didn't see it. But I think the best direction here would be to contact the Hiles Help Desk.
Okay.
And have them walk you through it.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
I've got a couple of questions coming in on small group, and one is related to do we have any update on the timeline, and the other is if any of this conversation applies to small group. And I guess the answer to that is no, we don't have any guidance yet on an exact timeline for small group. It'll be sometime next year, and this discussion only applies to the individual and family plans, not small group. Having said that, I guess we can take the next question.
Okay. Your next question comes from the line of Jim Ford with U.S. Health and Life. Please proceed.
I was going to ask the same question about the small group. So none of this material today applies to small group, and if we have small group products, we don't have to do anything?
The answer is that currently we are not collecting plan-level information on the small group products.
But Hiles, we still have to keep updating that.
Correct. And so, currently if you were to go out, you'd see we are still putting the product level information out on the website for those people looking for small group information. That will be the same in November, so we do need to keep updating that information. We will be coming out with additional guidance, but frankly, it's a process of we want to make sure we do it right, to be honest with you. So we're making sure that we've figured out the best way to collect this information and compile it. And so until we have that, we're going to put you off with, look for future guidance. I anticipate that will be coming sooner rather than later. But sooner is really, like in the next month to 2 months. It's not in the next couple of days.
So the can you refresh me on the deadlines for Hiles then?
Hiles, the window closes tonight at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
But then there'll be another window next month?
Yes. Yeah, we're doing monthly updates on the HIAS. You will be able to go in and do a refresh next month under the current schedule. And so if you have changes that don't apply for November but will apply for December, you'll have the opportunity then.
And where do I find out about those windows?
Okay. I tell you what, at this point, I'm going to ask you to, are you receiving the memos from HIAS?
Yes, the weekly memos or letters or whatever they call them.
They've generally been weekly, and so, yeah, if you're getting those, we will be announcing the schedules. There was some issue regarding this particular window because we want to, as I said, kind of reassess and step back on the CMT. And so rather than commit to a particular schedule, I'm going to ask that you keep an eye out. We will be sending out a memo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tanisha Witter with Independent Blue Cross. Please proceed. Ms. Witter, your line is open. You may proceed. Ms. Tanisha Witter, your line is open. You may ask your question. She might have herself on mute at this time.
Okay. And Jennifer, let's go ahead and take the next call. I'm sorry, Ms. Waters.
No problem. We don't have any other questions in the queue at this time.
Oh. Okay. Let's give this one moment in case anybody has thought of anything else. And otherwise, I'd like to thank David for taking us through the tool again. I'd like to thank everyone for dialing in. And I'd like to thank everyone for getting their information to us. Things are starting to settle down. The process is starting to fall into place. We will definitely be making improvements, but I think a lot of it is just getting a handle on the expectations that we have for each other. And I think we're starting to do so. So I appreciate the help, everyone. And if there are no other questions, Jennifer?
I'm not showing any other questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. Then I think we'll call it a day and thank everyone for their time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.